I just want to start from the outset to say that any decision we make today may change tomorrow. In order to have the best expert advice, we have commissioned...
Supercoach 360.
If the time's going up, it's recording.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the show.
Oh, mate, 100%.
We need to find out why they think it's okay to say anything.
It's certainly one of the greatest challenges in the history of the game.
That's what they want to try and do.
Megastar to megastar!
In this regard, we're leaving every option on the table.
Excellent. Oh,
what was that, buddy?
That was something special.
You know what?
That's not talent.
Uh-oh.
Supercoach 360.
The best way to handle these things is to stay measured, stay calm, you know, live your life as normal.
Unless we start finding it off the people... who actually
just do it.
It makes their little ordinary life feel a little bit better for that moment.
Makes you
cool. Supercoach 360 podcast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
G'day, welcome to Supercoach 360. How you going? It's your boy Juzzy J. We're in the coach's box. Talk all things Supercoach for another week. Massive week this week, really. It's the start of the actual game. The money changes hands, and now the long season begins. How do you best maximise your money at this early point of the season so that way you can afford everyone you want down the road? Massive round two, obviously. Injuries. Something else you got to remember. You got to remember to factor in injuries, because I don't know about you guys, but I could use six trades this week because so far I've got absolutely squat. It looks like I'm going to miss out on a couple of what I feel like are essential cheapies that I'd love to be able to get, but I just can't. And I got hit with injuries. I think most of us did this week. It was a horrible week for that. I caught Brandon Smith. I have Ford, but I didn't play him. Cop KP, rough one. I cop Cam Pereira's 9 in the first round. So it's been a rough
five.
Round of scores. 5, that's right. Downdated to 5. G'day, Con. How you doing, bud?
Cool, mate. How are you?
Yeah, me. Oh, I'm horrible. Lamenting
sounds
my
like
super coach
fantastic.
Season. That's it, bro. 2 weeks.
No, I just good a week as you, bud. I saved all my trades week one, thinking, three's going to get me through. Week two. Super coach, can I please use those 3 trades from week one now? I need 6 this week. So I had Nels go down, Ward's being hit with an injury, Boyd's just a dud, KP went down for me, and I also want to sell Nathan Teddy, so...
Right, now that's the other big burning question for this week, that's for sure. Do you sell Nathan? Do you sell Teddy? Everyone's talking about it. Now, I'm pretty sure I sat here last week and everyone called me an absolute fool for even considering it.
You were crazy last week. This week, not so crazy.
Yeah, right. And to be honest, if I'd actually pulled the trigger on it last week...
would have been brilliant.
Pardon? Yeah, that's it. So, because
you would have done a Lukey.
Because I couldn't have done it. I can't do it now. So I was onto something. And then once again, I'll let you guys talk me out of it. It's great to
back
have these chats each week. Yeah, I know. It's hard, man. It is.
It is. I know.
You
sit
there and you go...
you got all these things going through your head and you're like, but I really want to do this. But they're saying...
yeah, that's it. So I was like, nah, you know what? I'll conserve the trade. I'll wait the extra week. I was umming and ahhing about moving to Jerome Hughes last week. Didn't really miss out on much there, so...
Oh, so he didn't score great?
I can't imagine he did.
I'm pretty sure he did, lads. If you really have a look at it, he didn't do too badly.
How did he do?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure he got...
oh, okay. G'day, well. Bergs. How you doing? Chiming in, bud.
Thanks for that, mate.
You know how I get. I like to just get in and
well,
out.
Well, he scored 12 points. If he had to do any well in Supercoach, he had to be involved in all 12 of them.
He scored... holy
shit.
Told you did it
right. So he must have scored the tries or set him up.
Yeah.
Had a few line breaks. Here's the gun.
He is their go-to guy at the minute too, like with no
Munster, Paps.
No Paps. I mean, he holds his own, whatever, but Munster's a massive out.
Yeah, 100%. For them. So is Paps, man. Like.
But Paps hasn't even been there all pre-season. They were ready for this. You could tell they were ready for this.
Yeah.
Not last week, week 4. last week was a great victory by the Dogs over Melbourne.
Well, but, this week, I think victory of the round goes to the Knights.
That, oh, for sure, for sure. That was
against adversity for days.
That was a top effort from the boys, you know.
It was a shit game, but it was a great win.
Yeah. Oh, it's 12 men, man, for 20 minutes or something, wasn't it?
Gutsy effort.
We had a 10-minute sin bin, and then Saifidi got sent off. I'm not quite sure how long to go, but Ponga got knocked out early. Brayley got knocked out not long after. Frizz went down with an ankle injury.
Yeah.
Carnage.
Very much big time.
Yeah, straight up.
And we still won. So well, there has been Tigers, disappointing, man.
Just like
shit.
Let's just all sit here and say very. Like, I'm very sorry to Tiger supporters. I can't imagine what you're going through, but it's hard. It's hard to watch, man. Bergs is loving it. Let's just
fuck that. Like, sorry. I'm sorry, but you picked your team, and that's like granted.
Oh, yeah, you can still have empathy, bro. You've been there at the bottom. You know how it feels.
I have, but.
So put yourselves in their shoes. They've been there for fucking how long now?
And we came in the off-season and everyone's spruking this.
Wait, we can't all have a Gus Gould, right?
And let's face it, it wasn't ready to be spruked yet.
Mate, they got a Justin Pascoe running the shit there. And we've all seen his haircut.
It's
not much to fucking go off. And the rest of him polished suit, I think, so.
Is it like your haircut?
No way.
Good one. Anyway, okay.
If everyone had a Gus, if Gus were in the NRL probably, everyone would be in a much better shape.
I get what you're saying.
Because he'd make everyone start producing their own juniors. He'd give you compensation for producing your own juniors. And it'd just have a flow-on effect for the comp, and it'd be great. We'd probably maybe even start to think about a draft system then.
If they get the talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So then, if Gus is going to fix the NRL, then let me ask you a couple
of questions. He reckons he can do it in the lunch break.
Oh, yeah. I know. Gus said a lot of things. 360.
I'm backing him.
360 boys are pissed at him at the moment because of the way he's talking about concussions and saying how the concussion protocols have ruined the game. Now, I think, let me just put it on
where. Well, like Canty and shit like that.
Yeah. Those guys are having a go at him. Yeah. So let me just. I don't think that's the case. I think what they're doing is they're taking his stuff out of context, because often when he's talking about that, he's talking about the misuse by clubs bringing on interchanges and stuff like that.
No.
He's just talking about
He thinks the HIA is bullshit. All this concussion shit's bullshit.
It's
all hysteria, he reckons, that the stats come out to prove it, but then the evidence has since come out to disprove the evidence that they're still running off. He reckons all the evidence that they got early that they're still making the rules up by has since been disproven and is no longer irrelevant or relevant. So, in his words, well, not his words, but from what I read from that is he thinks it's all bullshit. The concussion hysteria is bullshit. And let the cunts play. Sorry.
They're worried about lawsuits, bro.
Yeah, that's
the big thing. They're worried about those lawsuits.
That's another thing he said. Bring on any kind of lawsuit, and he thinks any judge in Australia will throw it out. He doesn't think anyone has a leg to stand on when it comes to suing the game for concussion-related issues.
Well, let's see what happens, because 50 former AFL players apparently have all teamed up with 60 AFL players, XFL players.
But at the end of the day, what more can the NRL do?
But no, it's about a question of things that they knew and then how long it took to implement and stuff like that. Look, man, it's the world we live in.
What, and players didn't know that they might get hit in the head playing rugby league?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, also maybe the contracts were
mate,
different.
Mate, if you're that much of a, I might say, Jaden Salmon, and you're going to sue the game for a couple of head knocks that you suffered, earning good money and playing the sport that you love, which you probably would have played outside of the NRL if you made it or not, yeah, on the weekends, doing your daily job, well, then you're a piece of shit and you should never have played the game to begin with.
Love it. Tell us how
play
you really
soccer.
Feel. Oh, bam.
Even then, they're trying to stop the headers and shit. Like, come on, man. Like, fuck me drunk. How crazy is the world going these days?
Sorry, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. No, no, no. Actually, on to the next question. There's this new segment. It's called Let's See How Angry We Can Get Gregory. He loves it. Okay, so what do you think of Blake Ferguson wanting the NRL to pay for his nose job now that he's finished with the Japanese rugby and all that sort of stuff?
This is it. Okay, this is it. I can see you going, if you've played your NRL and you haven't gone anywhere else except for maybe back to grassroots rugby league, I can see them making a case for that. Right? But if you fuck off to union for super dollars...
Sold your soul to Japanese rugby.
Super dollars. Like, let's face it, you didn't go over there for a $200,000 pay rise. You went over there for the big bucks. Pay for your own shit, mate. Go put another season in Japanese rugby for your surgery.
No, bro, he never even got a season, remember? He got busted on the bag.
So you,
but at the end of the day...
You're a fucker.
How long did he play the NRL with that busted nose?
Yeah, exactly.
Why didn't he get it fixed while he was playing? Well, he was covered under all the NRL's insurances and all that kind of shit. Why didn't he get it fixed then? Well, why is he waiting for now to go, I need my nose fixed?
Don't know. Have to jump on to...
It's not going to look any prettier, mate. Don't worry about it.
You're not going to get any more shit up there. It's probably how he got pins. Just fell out on the floor. So what the fuck? Got stuck in the bend. Couldn't get it up. Didn't have the capacity. Just fell on the floor.
And see, he knows what pain is. To knock one down, he's got to literally get it back to straight. That's going to hurt.
He got bendy straw. He got like one out as a kid.
Crazy straw.
Yeah, Lance George has commented his nose worked fine to get on the bags.
Sure did. Oi, I bet you there's the clearest passage in the world
there. I can still breathe through one nostril. Nah, should be right, play on.
Well, the size of those nostrils, he should be breathing through them all right.
Bro, that's the easiest way to catch him out. Throw a bag on table. Watch him get that up. I'm telling you, so you get that, you're right. You'd be right, lad.
Alrighty. Was there any more questions that are going to get Con riled up? Trying to think what's going down in the world of rugby league in the last week.
We'll get there eventually.
Yeah, it's all right. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit of Supercoach.
We've been going. Trade
should be...
Front of mind,
it should be the massivest thing on the list this week. Like, let's face it, everyone should be doing them. Unless you... made the perfect team from the start, which is highly unlikely. Everyone should be doing trades this week.
Yeah, good luck. Well done.
But for me, there's at least 5-6 people I'd love to be able to get my hands on this week. Not going to happen. With the help of you guys, I'd like to work out what's the best way about to miss out on a couple of these guys. You know, how are we going to miss? Who are we going to miss out on pick up next week? Granted, we won't pick them up cheap, but who's the one that you'd wait on? Like, I've got some high and low break evens here, so we'll touch into that. You want to touch into that now? Just because trades, I think everyone has to do them, so trades should be pretty much talked about, and these are the blokes you should be trading in. Hopgood, if you don't have Hopgood, you're not super coaching right.
If you don't have Hopgood, you go play another game.
Well, no, not really. It's still not your fault. Like,
what?
It's still not your fault. Everyone told you week one, jump on. But a lot of people do like to have a look. And he's gone back-to-back massive scores. He's got a break even of minus 139. Scored 124 on the weekend. He's near a VC option or C option every week, the way he's going.
I can't remember anyone coming out in their first season back tons, especially a forward.
Yeah, and it's outrageous the work rate. It's crazy.
I mean, you put it this way: round one, the points from his base was 81.
Yeah.
Round two, 64 base.
So he's set to make stupid amount of money this week just for taking the field. So. I suggest if you don't have him, first pick-up of the week, doesn't matter who you get out. We'll touch on that a bit later, but...
Well, he could get sent for 10 seven times in the game and still make a buttload of cash.
Yeah. He could literally, he could, yeah. So, yeah, and then next one on the list I got's Fidzy. Now, I didn't jump on Fidzy.
Hammer side tab you eye for dough.
Yeah, the hammer, for those that are in the know. I didn't jump on Fidzy. I sort of have a little bit of regret, but I also sort of thinking maybe he's the one that I could let get away. But I still haven't decided. He's got a break even of minus 60, So it's not as juicy as Hopgood, but come out for
70. Nobody's going to be as juicy as Hopgood.
79 last week, and I think he got a 78 the week before, maybe.
I'm on.
The Hammer.
Sign me up.
He's going to make a buttload of cash, isn't he? Like,
his work rate's increased dramatically from the previous
2-3 seasons.
Examples that we've had.
New team, new coach, boys.
Just, you know, he's won so far that
the benefactor.
I'm spewing, I didn't jump on at the start. I didn't listen to myself.
Or even after week one.
Well, I jumped on garbage after that. But anyway, next on the list is Trindle. Now, a lot of people talking Trindle. Trindle scares me a little bit just because who knows when Nico's coming back. But
he's going back 70s.
No, he got a 40-something or 50-something the week before, didn't he? Can you check that out for us, Louis?
Pretty sure he's going back 70s.
Trindle, but he's got minus 54 break-even, scored a 76 on the weekend.
And what's his average?
Now, apparently Nico's said that he'll be back next week.
Well, the week after.
Yeah. Is that what he said? Because everyone's jumping on the fact that he said he'll probably be good to go next round. Apparently he's done an interview the last couple of days.
Didn't he say before the season that he'd probably only miss a week?
Yeah.
But that's my first thinking. They've been saying a week the entire time.
He also said, like I said, in the preseason, I'll probably miss round one. That's about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's 3 weeks now.
And, yeah, Trindle, 46 against South in the first game, and then, 76 against Parra last game.
Mm. Yeah. So, you know, it's not as juicy, but still set to make decent money if they go on a little bit of a run and Hines don't come back.
I'm only selling Nath, getting Trindle. Until Hines does return, and either way, Nath's leaked cash and Trindle's going to make cash. So I'm going to be in a better position after I get Hines. So.
Yeah.
Well, Trindle has a projected score of 37, and with that, he's going to make 80K this round.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah. Another 70-odd, and he's making 110.
Yeah, right. The next one on the list is Preston. Now, I'm not sure on job security of Preston, but supposedly the coach likes him.
I think he's safe.
Yep. Bro, he's a weapon. You saw what he did, and that was against the Storm.
He played 76 minutes on the weekend.
Yeah.
All the other forwards, except Kickout, played less than him. Kickout played 77. I don't think anyone else played over 60.
And that would be the one thing what you said when you looked at the guy is, he looks a little bit smaller than those other blokes, but the thing, he looks fit as fuck, doesn't he?
He does. I don't see where he got any additional minutes from anyone getting hurt or anything, so I think he's a teacher's pet.
See, I was scouring hard yesterday, day before, trying to figure out, hold on, was there an injury? Why did he play this 76 minutes? Seems like an odd number.
No, he just ended up starting him and then pretty much just didn't take him off because I didn't give him a reason to take him off.
Yeah, well, he's got a minus 51.
I think he's locked in.
Minus 51, very lowly priced at 200.
Yeah.
So it's the perfect downgrade if you've had a lot of dramas in your side and you need to fix it.
So you've been saying that, like, Eli Katoa's break-evens, I think, only minus 28 or something.
Yeah.
So if he comes out and scores 30 more than him, you're going to go up the same price.
But Eli Katoa's 411,000, so.
But that's what I mean, but they're still going to go up the same price, and if you want them both.
Preston's bargain basement.
But they're still going to go up the same price. That's what I'm saying.
Katoa will average out earlier. That's the thing. If Preston goes on a run, he could put on 400K.
But I'm saying Katoa's safer.
Yeah.
So you might want to get him in first and then wait for Preston next week and see if he does continue to play big minutes or not, or if it was just an outlier.
Anomaly.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, they're expecting TPJ to be back next week. From his calf. So
I don't think TPJ affects Preston.
He probably goes into the middle.
Yeah, I think so too. Then you got Cardi, the surprise packet of Cardi.
I'm spewing him over Dorio.
Me too, man, because Cardi has chugged along.
I'm blaming Juzzy.
Back to back 58. Yeah.
Good on you. Now you know how I felt for 4 fucking years.
Yeah, you speared us out, Cardi. Kept reminding us of the party and this, that, and the other. Cheers, Juzzy.
Yeah, well, thank you. Remember when those times you talked me into him for me to become this bitter? Yeah, you're welcome.
Richard, I'm still dirty. You'll be out fucking Joey Marnie too, mate.
Joey So is Richo and Joey, trust me. Yeah, Cardi, minus 49. Scored a 58, back-to-back 58s, I think he got a 58 the week before as well. Playing the full 80 till Lane gets back. So
who do I say, who gets dropped first? Dory or Cardi?
I say Dory for me.
But Brad Arf came out for the season, remember, and said he wants to work Dory up into an 80-minute edger.
That might be the case, but form speaks wonders.
Especially when you're
0-2. If Lane comes back, I'm not sure Cardi goes to the right, though, either. I think he's...
Think it matters what side Cardi plays on, to be honest with you.
No.
I don't think he's phased playing left or right.
He does his job. He's chugging.
At the moment, all he's doing is fucking pretty much running good lines and making his tackles. Yeah, like, there's nothing flash to his game. He's just doing a good second row's job in.
Yeah, well,
he's doing the hard yards.
First game, he got 59 points, base of 51, and then last week 58 with a base of 46.
Which, not bad. And then next on the list is Zarko. All right, Jermaine Zarko.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that was a trap. I feel sorry for everyone that got on.
He's a week one bandit.
A lot of people jumped on him last week. He was one of the most...
What did he score last week?
I think if you go back to...
100 odd, but this week scored a 48. Got a 48. Minus 46 average, though, at the moment.
So, but then once that 100 disappears out of his rolling average and he has his massive price spike, his break even's going to be pretty much his average.
Yeah, so I wouldn't jump on. I wouldn't even spear anyone into Zarko. I've only put him on list because he's so highly owned. We're bound to have people that listen that
if
own.
If you did jump on last week,
jump off.
Milk the two price rises out of him and then...
Probably won't get two. You won't get two unless he goes off again this week.
Well, he's got minus 46, so he's just got to take the field.
Yeah, this week.
What's he worth, Bart? What's his price?
383.
I would not be bringing him in this week, put it that way.
So we got the almost 450.
Who's next?
And if he scores 60, his break even will be that.
Egan.
Wade Egan. Do you feel he could do the same? Actually, no, because he's been fairly consistent, hasn't he?
Egan's on Egan.
Back-to-back tries in his game. Don't see him doing that. What's his base and power at, Louis, when you get
50.
There?
50.
But Egan for me, he's the one that I'm thinking, do I overlook Egan, give Cheese another chance, or he's the one for me I'm umming and ahhing about, because that way I can get myself the hammer, a Preston, and a someone else that I'm looking at, I think. Maybe a sideways trade, I think the other one was.
Yeah, Egan's base against Newcastle with that 99 was 44, and then last week was 47.
His base isn't that great. He's relying on...
Base and power.
Relying on attacking stats. We did score tries.
No, well, he scored, I think, 199 points, isn't it?
What was that, sorry?
He scored 199 total points.
88 and a 99. So he's 190.
And I think a lot of them...
187,
sorry. So I think it worked out last night. He's got 101 in base and power, including negatives. And Reed Marnie's got 90 in base and power, including negatives. So his base and power, including his tackles, penalties conceded, errors, is 50 a game.
And what that swayed you? He's getting his info. Swayed you more to
Egan
over anyone else? Like, what do you think Egan potentially can match Grant or
no?
Stepping stone
but,
to
it's the easiest way I'm going to get to Grant by week six and so piss off Tanner Boyd out of my team. He's going to lose money.
So if you're already a Grant owner, would you overlook Egan to strengthen in other places?
100%.
Yeah. Sweet. That's the sort of one.
That's Egan's only so attractive to me because I've got Reece Robson.
Yeah.
And I want Grant and Reece Robson to run through the season with. And I've just found Egan as my quickest way to get Harry by probably 6 or 7. Because with the trades I'm doing this week, I've got almost 1.1 million sitting in the bank. So I just need to wait a couple of weeks for Egan to juice up. And welcome in the Wizard.
The Wizard. What about you guys? Are you looking at Egan?
Oh, look, I'm thinking about him. I'm thinking.
Who are you? What damage have you done? Like, whereabouts do you need to go, Louis, to sort of strengthen your team?
Centre wings, really. I've had Val and Tuilagi were my two main ones. I had in my centre wings, and I wouldn't get rid of Val, but Tuilagi hasn't quite lived up to my expectations. See, to be honest,
the problem there is you went two players from the same team on the same edge.
Yeah. So I'm looking at maybe getting in Karaz instead of Tuilagi.
All right, let's talk about it. Karaz,
well,
boys.
Next on the list, actually.
He's the top of 2021. His base is just cray-cray.
Yeah, and then you throw attacking stats on that, proved he can score a try.
Well, he's got a minus 36 break-even and scored 148 on the weekend. Not sure, he was very average the week before.
51 the week before.
Oh, not that average.
And that's
all.
Pretty much that's base. Pretty... I think he had a line breaking that, maybe.
Oh, we got dominated.
Are you sidewaysing Toto to him?
100%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would, personally.
I had the luxury of doing that.
Yeah, if I had the free money, though, and I'm being brutally honest with you, I'd get Garrick over him.
Yeah, if you could. Garrick's
not this way.
Yeah. Like, don't you really understand Garrick's...
He's priced at 573,000.
You could go Karaz to Garrick.
And next week he's probably going
to
go 650-odd plus.
You could literally go Karaz for Garrick's... a week and then Garrick next week before his price change if he brains it this weekend. Because you know Garrick's going to be solid.
As solid points, you know. Like, don't get me wrong, Karaz solid points, but if I had the money there, I'd see
doesn't
the ceiling.
Doesn't kick.
Yeah, well, that's
Karaz,
Garrick's.
Yeah,
that's Garrick's appeal to me. Like. Yeah.
Tommy just feeds him the ball like candy.
It's just, yeah, it's a lovely partnership.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If not, Tommy just scores him under the post. He goes plop.
But yes, I really like that, Louis.
That's
a no-brainer. To be brutally honest, what's Tuilagi's price?
578.
No brainer, bro.
He's
across.
10K cheaper. And look, Bulldogs, the next draw, they've got Tigers and Warriors. You can guarantee, especially next game against the Tigers, he's going to probably be crossing for at least one or two.
Don't you go throwing the G word around here, bro. Don't you dare throw that commentator's curse out. You got to understand, people listen to you and just that shit happens, all right?
But not even
it's
that.
Horrid.
He's offloading like champion, and he's taking 15 plus runs a game. So you're going to get 40 to 50 points out of him without the attacking stats.
And if he does that, he's still sitting an average of like 75 next week. So cheering. Like that'll still be another decent price rise out of him. And then it's literally probably straight across to Garrick.
Well, his break tackle ability's beastish. It's almost like a couple of tackles a game. Like, it's decent. You know, he's busting tackles quite often. So, he reminds me a little bit of, like, what Ramian does over there at Sharks. Like, he just busts tackles over there, Ramian. Like, I like what he does, too. Huh? No, sorry. Oh, then we'll move down to the next on the list. Now, this one was a surprise packet. He is not as highly owned as pretty much anyone else on the list, but he's still high enough owned for me to have a talk about. Nichols. Now, Nichols... back-to-back decent scores off the bench. Used to do it at Souths as well. Score semi-decent off the bench. I know he's got tries, but he's got a minus 34 average, and he scored a 57 on the weekend.
With a base of 55 as well.
Coming off the bench, you know, and when he comes on, the people are tired. It's that...
Yeah, he's just a strike weapon. For the first one.
Quite
just uses
achiever.
Have a higher ceiling. And yeah. They're not just going to pump out 50s and then you plateau out in 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. And then last one on this list is Katoa. Alesi Katoa. Alesi Katoa, minus 28, scored a 92 on the weekend. Looks to be the go-to guy at the Storm, especially...
Oh, without Munster there.
Especially while Munster's out. Yeah, so...
Richard couldn't fucking herd a fucking pack of sheep.
Yes, I know. He did look average.
Get people in line, bro. Do your job. Tell them where you need them to be and when you need them to be there. That's your job as a six. Don't just because you're a kid coming in, tell them.
Yeah. You get a bit more respect for it, too.
Well, Loiro's only a kid, too. Just Nolan's not there, so you got nothing to worry about.
Just Nolan's back this week, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, I believe so.
Still, I can buy Justin Nolan some coffees and then get him to tell him then.
Yeah, so now on the other side of that coin, I've only got a couple of these guys there, highly owned guys, but each of you blokes have mentioned moving on one or the other today, if not both, that's right. And you moved on one last week, which was a good move from you. So
no, he didn't.
He moved on one for the other one that's on the list. So Nath at 149.
Gone.
Break even, massive break even. He's capable of hitting a break even. Let's face that fact. Does have a buy this week, so you're not under the pump to actually sell Nath this week.
If you want Trindle, you are.
Well, yeah, that is if you want Trindle and don't have to play Boyd or something like that. Like, that's what I'm looking at. That's my drama.
I'm playing Trindle.
I'm going Boyd to Trindle straight sideways, bro. Take the cash and run. Even if Nico's back next week, that's when I'll look at probably going Nath to Nico. Bang, straight.
Well, I'm doing it the other way. I'm going just Nath to Trindle until Nico's back, saving the cash, and then going Trindle to Hines. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not touching either. I'm leaving both of them in my squad. I'm staying strong.
The experiment begins. Yes!
I'm leaving them in my squad.
Me too, bro. Yeah. Not touching either.
Okay, we're going to have to write
down guns for a reason.
What trades we've done. What prices they're at, and then in 6 weeks we'll come back and reevaluate these trades and see who's in the better position.
I think we should too.
By all means.
Absolutely, we have to.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the next one's on list, Teddy, 135 break even.
It's gone.
Got a 55 on the weekend. Hard done by Bart. If you actually watch that game, he could have easily got a 150.
Yeah, he just doesn't like him, eh?
Hear me out. I'm giving Teddy one more shot. Because I think, well, I'm hoping Teddy goes in there and pretty much sat him down and just gone, you look like I'm the fucking captain. I was there as support. Like, you passed that fucking ball, bro. Like, we get points. You know what I mean? Because that's what it could come down to get into the top eight. If you're not winning every game, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Teddy's not doing that, bro.
Well, I don't know what happens behind closed doors. Look, but at the end of the day, I hope something like that's happening because... against South, I'm going to hold on. The rivalry is real, bro.
I don't think anyone has to say anything to Joseph Suali. If he just looked in a paper or fucking opened to social media, it would have just had something about him not passing the ball to Teddy. So he knows he did the wrong thing, he knows. In saying that, he thought he was going to make it around there. He backed himself sometimes if he would have got there.
Bro. I reckon 75% of the time, the fullback goes for the... intercept or the knockdown. He doesn't even take the ball, one of the attacking players.
Yeah,
he just dives in between them and tries to stop it. Yeah. Put your body on the line.
I get a concussion.
Yeah, see, now I'm getting right up.
Birdo, if you didn't sell last week after his poor performance, now the Dogs done really well against Melbourne. Birdo got a 30.
And that's pretty much from the goal kicking, bro.
So... Like, don't get wrong, we didn't put 50 on Melbourne. Like, let's
put 28 on him.
We scored a couple of tries against Melbourne, but
scored 28, so that's 5 tries.
You'd expect Burton to score
at least have 81.
A touch better than 30. Anyway, but he's got a break even of 123. Get out now.
Where do you go?
Oh, Dewey, if you
Dewey's
haven't got
injured
Dewey.
Or possibly injured. KP's knocked the fuck out. Cody Walker's doing peanuts.
If you don't
Ezra Mam is your boy, I think.
Yeah, can't really look at Kieran.
Oh, Dylan Brown bounced back last week.
Dillbags. Yeah, see, he's the test against Manly. I mean, look, man, Schuster, first time this week.
Or you can move Katoa down if you got him at halfback and possibly bring in halfback.
Yeah, and that might be the smart play at this point.
I like Ezra, but I think Ezra is...
Well, he's definitely found his feet in the team, man. You know what I mean?
As long as A-Ray stays there, I think he can do good things.
Yeah, they did look good. They do look good, eh? They have looked good to start the year off Brisbane.
Reece Walsh, sexy.
So, okay, bang. I don't know if he's on that list yet, but... Yeah, Reece Walsh, do you wait a week?
But, well, I played people last week that played him, and they beat me. Yeah, there's
well,
people that
I had him.
Straight.
I had him all preseason until he put on too much mascara that one day and had to miss round one. I ended up getting Teddy, and it tore my team apart.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I had Tohu before that happened.
I think I'm hating someone at the end of this.
It's yourself, Con.
I think so.
It's always yourself.
Next on the list, Cobbo, 123. Don't think he's highly owned by anyone that we talk about because we haven't really talked about Cobbo up, but he is highly owned. 123, scored 22 on the weekend. Didn't look good at fullback when he played fullback against Penrith, and they won that game. Don't get me wrong, it was a bludgeon, like, in the rain. It was not...
13-12.
It wasn't an attacking
It wasn't a winner's dry game, dream, you know what I mean?
Still, if you get fullback, just on your base, bring back...
I think Herbie scored 90.
Yeah, Herbie's...
I think he got a double, didn't
he? Yeah, that's it, he got the double.
The go-to guy out there at the moment.
He's a fucking weapon, eh?
But also, in the rain, you don't go all the way out to the winger, do you?
Fins up.
Yeah, the fins. Next on this, Trell. Now, Trell's got a 121, easily capable for Trell to get a 121.
Gets Roosters with Jared and Radley hunting him.
Oh, yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. Like, up against the Roosters this week.
Joey's going to want some.
Is it going to be a points fest?
Oh, look.
Yep.
There'll be.
You reckon?
I reckon it'll be over 50 points scored.
Over 50?
Yep.
Okay.
As long as it's dry.
Yeah, I believe it's supposed to be hot and dry.
It's meant to be fucking hot as shit, isn't
it? Yeah.
What are they...
The whole weekend
playing
in Sydney.
I think 39 Sunday.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think I heard 36 earlier, but it keeps changing. Like, it's getting... And mind
it'll
you...
It'll probably be raining 27 on Sunday. They don't know. Let's ring up Tim Bailey. Tim, you listening?
Now, next on the list, Val Holmes. I'm going to say you brought him in. You know what he's capable of. I don't think he's...
I'm holding.
Unless you're going to Garrick, maybe, but...
I got Garrick, too.
That's the only way I'd go with Val. Got a 98 break even.
You wouldn't downgrade it to a Carraz or a Hammer or something, bank cash and then upgrade some other position where you may be vulnerable?
Nah, I'd rather not, just because I don't want to miss him. They've got a good opening 10 rounds, I think, if you really look into the Cowboys.
How's that worked out for him in the first two?
Not good, but we, you know what? We all expect that. We expect it every year. We buy our players...
No, I didn't. I brought Garrick and Holmes expecting hundreds out of him for the first week. Garrick got me there.
Yeah.
Val, not so much.
Got a 70.
Not even week to 65. 40-odd second week.
Now, Cheese is the next one, heavily owned.
I was going to gloss over that.
Oh, what? Oh, I just thought Val.
If he's averaging 55, man, then... Straight up, he's looking to go down to somewhere around the 550, 600 mark, isn't he?
And Carraz is going...
Yeah, way up. Like, he pretty much takes the field. He's going to score... he's going to get, like, 100K.
Or Hammer.
Nah, actually...
Could be a two-week swapsies.
I think I looked in the app, and the app says he's projected to make 117K, Carraz. But that's based off a 97. So if he doesn't come out and score some tries against the Tigers this week, then he's in trouble.
That's it. Projected scores and their projected K cash rises or losses. I don't know the word I'm looking for, but they can fluctuate. They're obviously not going to be spot on with their projected scores.
Well, that's
week.
It. So, yeah, I don't know. I looked at it and I was like 97. Whereas like Trindle, you know, going up by 100K or whatever, that happens if he gets like a 36. So, and he's pulled out a couple of decent scores. So yeah. It's like, all right, yeah, cool. I'm more willing to take that gamble because I'm just looking to grab cash. Just a few quick cash grabs, bang.
And then not only that, if Karaz pulls out a 35 this week,
he's still got a decent average in him.
His break even's still going to be semi-low.
Yeah, exactly.
But once that 148 leaves, he's going to leak cash unless he pumps out another semi-decent score.
Yeah, which the Dogs are capable of over the next couple of weeks, but let's just see what happens. Like, they are looking good. So I'm very interested.
All right, next one's a cheese.
Sell.
Yeah.
Straight up. Got to get rid of him this week.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
Got a 90 break
even.
Oh,
would be him.
You reckon he's not playing and Turpin's going to play?
Don't know.
I don't care if he's playing or not.
Got a 90.
Not even gone.
Scored a 10.
You got a 10.
Yeah, you got a 10.
I don't know how. He played like 7 seconds.
Get 10 points for head knock. You should get some.
It wasn't a head knock. He got pumped in
the
fucking
right,
ribs.
That's right, yeah.
Well, he didn't even get pumped. He tried to make a tackle.
Yeah, so sell the cheese. Go to an Egan. It's probably the best bet, yeah. Egan.
Well, Marsh King didn't back up his week one.
He's suspended this week.
And he got sent off.
Yeah.
Sorry, just quickly, Kate Burgess just made a comment about Val. So be careful with Val, as he was definitely impacted by losing Drinky and having Hiku play at fullback.
Yeah, well, Drinky last year unlocked Val a bit, if we remember right.
Mm. Who's named fullback this week?
The young fella.
Yeah, random.
Young fella, man.
Cheapy, bro.
Good dude. Supposedly plays good footy. Don't
really. They really mustn't rate Val as a fullback, eh?
I just think They've got no centres either. They've got no outside backs.
Not even Hiku.
But also, how
old? Went to fullback before.
How old's Val?
Yeah.
How old's Val?
28, 20.
Not even. 26?
No, he's got to be older than that, bro. He had an NRL career, an NFL career.
He went to Gridiron for like 6 months, man.
Yeah, and
it wasn't that long. 27 max, I reckon.
He was young. He's young. He came.
He was a kid. He was a pup, bro.
Won a grand final young. Bloody, and then next one, list KP.
27.
Hey. Okay, so I'm just thinking maybe he doesn't have the miles in the legs or they're conserving for him for the goal kicking for some reason. It's the only reason why I can think you don't put him back to fullback.
No, I just don't think. He's not a fullback, man. He was the world's best winger before he left, and that's where he should have stayed. He's done a great job of centre, don't get me wrong. But I still think he could be the best winger in the game.
Yeah, he's good. And then KP's the last one on the list. Sorry to anyone who brought him in. Sorry to anyone who owned him too. Like, let's face it, you didn't bring KP in thinking he was gonna get a head knock. It's sort of same thing with Tommy, mate. Like, it's not a matter of it's more a matter of when. Like,
as soon as Paps comes back, I'm buying him too, don't you? Like,
glad for punishment, eh? But no, seriously though, it's just like it is a good gamble. Like, if you had him first week, good for you. Last week, like, I play people that captain him, don't get me wrong, some still beat me, but, yeah, like...
Well, I believe I mock people, I don't know if it was in the podcast or not, but everyone didn't get on him all pre-season because I worried about his HIA concerns, rah, rah, rah. Then he scores 72 week one, goes off with the HIA, and everyone jumps on board. So don't be shocked by him getting knocked out this week. More for you, I think.
Well, yeah, we knew he got knocked, exactly like you said, got knocked out last week. Don't get me wrong, he said that there was nothing in that one last week, and OB said the same thing.
But you could see, after he went in for the tackle, he was rolling around holding his head. And then he got up like nothing happened, but...
Yeah.
As you would.
Yeah, well, you're
going
otherwise.
Especially in his fucking case.
Yeah, but... Yeah, so...
Well, 21.2% of teams had him last week.
Yeah.
So 21%.
That's highly owned, considering.
So I'd sell this week, but I've got to have shit I've got to do. unfortunately.
Well, the good news is he can't lose, you know, catch.
Yeah. That's why I'm keeping him and Nels this week, and they're going next week.
Yeah. And you get another look at a couple of guys, like the Manly guys.
I miss out on Preston's price rise.
Yeah. But that's sometimes the price you got to pay. Now, just talking on that, right, who are the ones you can sort of let go for this week? Is Preston the one you let go because he's only going to go up to 280K, or is...
Well, I think there's about 8 or 9 that you could toss up between them and either get him this week or next week if you want to seriously get him. Or otherwise, after that, I think you're going to be...
But is there an order... premiums. Is there sort of an order you're going to go, like... Is the Fidzy the most important guy, or is Preston the most important guy, or is Egan at hooker the most important guy? I know it's going to come down to make up a team.
Oh, Fidzy's very important for me.
Yeah.
Because I want to get rid of Teddy.
Yep.
And he's going to make me the most cash without Teddy. Trindle, very important for me because I want to get Nag again to maximise my cash value.
Yep.
And then the third one is the tough one for me. Because you got Preston. You got Katoa from the Storm. You got Egan. They're the main three that I'm to and fro in between.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'll land on Egan. Just because he's that stepping stone to Harry.
Yeah.
Who I know I can lock in season's end. And I can... I've got Ryan Sutton and Nelson in my forward too. I can... upgrade with the $1.1 million almost I've got sitting there.
Yep.
So one can go to Tohu and I can bulk up my back row as well with that cash. So that's why I'm leaning towards them, and I can get Preston next week.
Tohu's been massive.
But his break even's still only 24, so he's not going to go through the roof this week. So he's not even in my target range this week. I know he's going to score... great points,
70 odd, yeah.
But he's not going to make me that $90,000 that the Prestons and those other people are going to make me. So Tohu can wait a week for me.
So definitely try to grab in your positions. Like in you, everyone's team makeup's going to be different. So if you're looking at doing that, you look for who's got the most biggest minus break even with a decent run and jump on, eh? That's the spirit. Yeah. You'll have a good minus.
Why not?
Zoom right in on that. okay. Boost. Teddy has said to me today, trade and boost, man, make as much coin as you can over the next couple of weeks. Is Ted back in the boost mad? Boost mad again, or is this the time?
I ain't boost this week. like you said, unless you've absolutely nailed 100% of everything.
It's boost week.
Boost the shit out of it, man.
Boosting into round 3.
Oh, nice, yeah. I think you have to. You know, these early weeks, you got to really earn as much cash as you can. Use that boost, get that cash.
Yeah. Jazzy, boosting into round 3, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
It's crazy not to, isn't it? I'm spewing I didn't do it last year. Like, it changes your season, mate. You know what I mean? Like, if I can't stress it enough to people, this is the week to boost. Like, boost, if not boost again next week if you want. Oh, I'm not telling you not to boost again. Like, boost.
As long as you haven't boosted week one, let's not go boost happy.
Well, I think Teddy.
He's up there, Turbo.
I think Teddy boosted week one. I know.
I think Teddy boosted week two and week three and maybe even week four.
Paulie.
And then maybe save one for the first buy round.
Paulie sends me a few messages through the week. He boosted round one. Yes. Paulie loves that haircut, trust me. I'm going to send him a picture. But, yeah, he boosted round one, I know that for sure. He's come 45th at the moment, but he's got work to do as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
45th?
Yeah, 45th overall.
Is he?
Yeah, jumped up from 90-something the week before. He come 90-something the first week, and then he's coming 45th at the moment.
What team's he rocking?
I'll show you.
What score did he get last week?
That's I don't know. You'll have to keep talking, so I'll go find I'll go find the literature.
Jazzy, what else you got on your?
Nah, bro, I'm just in the same conundrum as you. I just don't have enough trades to make it through this week.
And yeah, that's it. And who do you miss out on, and who do you get?
Yeah, well, that's it. I've done another sort of set of trades, and I've once again missed out on. Well, I've missed out on pretty much everyone here.
You missed out on pretty much everyone here.
Well, I've gotten rid of... I've kept Tanner Boyd. Hold on. How have I got Ford? I've got no idea what I've done. I've traded Trindle for Brandon Smith. And then I've got... I've brought in Karaz. Yeah, so that's where my money's gone. Uh-huh. I still can't figure out the third trade I made. I don't know. Come back to me.
Why don't you go to up top and go to undo changes? And I'll tell you what trade you've made.
Oh, okay, I have. I've only made
what are you
two.
Doing this week,
I have
Louis?
Only made two, so I've got the third one there. It's weird how the boost does that.
I'm in an R. I think I'm set on going from Tuilagi to Karaz.
Yep.
I think I'm set on that. At this stage, this is probably going to change, but at this stage I've got... Jaden Sullivan going to Isaiah Katoa.
Yeah.
And then I've got Talao going to the Hammer. At this stage.
No interested in Preston or Egan or...
I was thinking about a Preston. I was tossing up between... At this stage, it's between getting in Katoa or getting in Preston. For Dory.
What are you just going off break evens or what are you going off?
At this stage, just
job security
just
or
just getting cash. I'm just doing it for a cash grab.
Well, Preston's break evens a lot lower, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Mind you, this was a thing I put together in 10 minutes, so.
Yeah, sorry, boys. I'm sitting over here going a little bit mental because. I'm looking at my side, and it's starting to get real dogs heavy. I'm thinking about bringing in Reed Marnie. Like, that's one of the trades I could do. I've got Karaz. I've got Alamotti. I've got Perham.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot of their backs. I'm thinking about bringing in Preston for the cash grab. TPJ might end up in my side. So it's like, oh, I feel like I'm getting real dogs heavy here. So I was just looking at their buys, but they've got 13, 17, and 23. They got a pretty sweet run with buys, like because those major buy rounds, you're getting the lowest or your best 13s anyway. So they're the best rounds to have buys in ultimately. Like the teams that have buys in there, you've sort of got an advantage with the ones that. Just turn it off again.
What'd you say? So they don't have a bite around 13.
Nah, they got 13, 17, and then round 23, a little rest before they finish.
That is a pretty sweet buy draw.
And they've got a pretty sweet draw in that back end too. They play the Panthers in 21, but yeah, they got a decent draw in the back end. So,
but what are the real Bulldogs? A week one the real Bulldogs or a week two the real Bulldogs?
I think week two are the real Bulldogs. No. I think that's what the coach wants.
Well, they beat a depleted Storm.
But still beating the Storm, man. Storm has structures and stuff in place.
Like, still depleted.
Yeah, it is. It's very heavily depleted. Like a lot of their first graders aren't there. But man, a win's a win.
A win in Melbourne. A win in Melbourne for the Dogs is a win.
That's it. Berks was telling me there was no way they were going to win. They haven't won down there in years. They bring it to them, but they never win.
I wasn't expecting them to win.
No one was.
I was expecting the scoreline maybe the other way around and maybe even a little bit more.
Yeah.
But no Munster, no Papenhuyzen. Their forward pack's just getting to know each other again.
Yeah, it was it?
Tui's still out.
And, yeah. But in saying that, we're a work in progress too.
Hey, he's done well. I only watched, I think, the first 35, 40 minutes, so I didn't even see the Storm score a point. But yeah, highly impressive. Especially compared to you. Week one fumbles.
We look good for good 60 minutes, I reckon. You know, like 60 minutes of that game, we looked really good, and then the other 20, we just sort of clocked off, and Melbourne done their stuff to us. And
They played for the 80.
They played. Well, they did. Even that was a difference. The depleted.
Actually, whether they're winning or losing, they still play for the 80.
The depleted team still played for the 80, yeah. Whereas we played for 60, and then we probably chime back in at the end there. You know what I mean? And but yeah, it was a little too late for Melbourne. We got lucky, but yeah, cheering. Fuck Melbourne. Now Perso and Braddo, I've seen them in a group chat we were having. Now they're both good super coach minds, but they're at differences on who to hold and who to sell as well. Like, I can't remember who's for and who's what, but the hold and sell Teddy and Nath thing. For me, I'm going to hold them just on their pedigrees. I think you're doing the same, Louis.
Yeah, yeah.
User selling on the money factor of it. You don't see like in a perfect world where you've sold people before and it's gone wrong on you.
100%.
You don't. But see, these are sort of players.
I'm more selling Nath, not because of his break even or his scores that he's done, but what Penrith have shown me over the first 2 weeks. I think it's going to take a fair while for them to change their shit and
they got to adjust.
Yeah, exactly. For them to start being the force that they were, they can't just keep playing like they used to the last 2 years. Because Appy and Kicks aren't there, and now we're two major role players in what they used to do. So, if they don't change it up, I can't see Nath busting out 150 on the regular for now.
Yeah. Too much to do, you reckon, for him to get back to that?
Not too
elite.
Much to do, it's just... Appy was a major part of what they did.
Yeah. See, we were saying it all last year. The deception he provides at a dummy half is valuable time for Nathan. Like, your hooker creates time for your half. So.
That's it. Not just Nathan, but he created time for his forwards.
Yeah, for
which
everyone.
Which then created the fast play to ball, which then created time for Yo and Nathan. And like, it was just such a flow-on effect. I just don't understand why he can't do it at the Tigers. He's got the forward pack there. But anyway, that's a story for another day. But yeah, I'll sell Nath. I can understand Holden Teddy. Rooster's still a strong team. Jarrah's coming back this week. Bradley's coming back this week. Their forward pack's only getting stronger. Lodge won't be far away. Collins is getting better week by week after his ACL. So
they've picked up Nathan Brown.
Nathan Brown as well, yes, that's correct. So
bit of mongrel in
there. I can understand
Holden
Teddy because he could pump out that 150 any given week still.
Bro, he would have gotten it last week had Suwali passed twice.
And he dropped 150. Himself,
well, let's be honest. He wouldn't have got line breaks. He wouldn't have got a tackle bus. So, all in all, he would have got an extra 34 points, which would have put him at 85.
Yeah,
so, he's not tonning up or anything.
It also would have changed the momentum of the game. So, that's the thing you can't factor. But they still scored.
Sam Walker still scored on the one where he didn't pass it to Teddy. He offloaded and Sam Walk scored it instead.
Yeah.
And on the second one,
I think
I think they scored maybe not that play, but a couple of plays after.
Yeah.
Fair call. All right.
Well, I've got a couple of questions. We'll just quickly pump through them.
Pump through them.
If you got something at the end there, we can go on it. Matty Drew, thoughts on Boyd to Trindle, lads?
Yep.
Love it.
Yeah, I think it's a good one. Pull the trigger on that, Matty.
All right, let me ask a question then, because I've got this conundrum, and I'm sure other people out there do too. If I've got Boyd or I've got Brandon Smith, do I keep Boyd that extra week and throw him up the top? Do I take the gamble on Smith, leave him up the top, even without the R on him, and get rid of Boyd to do it?
Didn't check Boyd's break even, but
52.
Old mate made the list, so he's as big.
He's his 90, though. But, like, he can get 90.
That's it. Boyd's 52, which...
He hasn't proven
unless
he can get.
Flukes an attack and he's out somewhere, he's not getting anywhere near that.
Brandon Smith's been out of the game both times.
And we've Radley back, good pass play to balls. Jared back through the middle. They could get that momentum that he needs to sneak over for a double. So yeah. 90 is achievable for Cheese. I'm not saying he's going to come anywhere near it. I'm thinking he's going to go sub 50, but...
Yeah. You think
it's possible?
Yes. All right.
So, what was the consensus there? Boyd or Cheese?
Sell
get rid
Boyd.
Of Boyd. Yeah, sweet.
George Nagapaku. Did I do it right?
I doubt it.
Thinking Talao to Cardi and Cheese to Marnie. Not sure when Lane's back, though.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
He must have Preston.
Must. To be going to Cardi.
Yeah.
I would say Cardi's a cash grab. He's the only one there, I think, at 2...
That's 69 or whatever.
234, I think it is. 234.
Same price, Dory.
But again, Preston's 34,000 cheaper than him, set to make
that's
more
what
money.
I mean. He must have Preston, or he wouldn't be asking.
Chase to Marnie, but you reckon Marnie's.
I'm an Egan man.
Yeah. Any of yous on look deep into Marnie? You said his attacking stats, base stats haven't been too bad.
Nah, well, I think Egan's about 50.5, including negatives and minuses. And Marnie's about 45.
Yeah.
So Egan's been getting better base than Marnie, so.
Yeah. And he's playing less minutes, Egan. So that's something too, so that could fluctuate.
With Marnie or with Egan?
No, I think Marnie's locked in for 80.
Yeah.
But Egan could play 50 one week if, depending on how the Warriors are going or he's going, or he could play 80 maybe one week, depending on HIAs and whatnot. So he's an up and down.
So the safe money's on Marnie?
Nope. Egan.
Egan, sorry.
Because he can only go up, I think.
Yeah. All right, Dan Nickel. To bring in Karaz, which leaves 200K in the bank, or just go straight to Gary? Now, we saw we touched on this a little bit earlier.
I'd say go straight to Gary. Personally, I'd say, because Garrick has the goal kicking, which means if Turbo's converting, then Garrick's also converting.
If your team's going all right, and, you know, we've got shitload of trades, could you go Karaz this week before Garrick's price rise, and then you split Karaz to Garrick next week?
Yeah, we did touch on that too. So, I mean, that's it. If Karaz goes gangbusters this week, then you literally straight out Garrick.
Well, you don't. You just hold Karaz for another week and get another juicy price rise out of him.
Yeah, you could do that too. I mean, you know, I've heard other people call him the season-long keeper.
Well, like his base says going
off his
says
work
keeper,
rate, mate.
Bro.
Yeah, he's offloading.
And his work rate last year too, when he was on the field, he did the same. He finished weak, but I'm pretty sure the Dogs finished fairly weak too.
Like, even just throw stupid offloads, but even a stupid offload's 2 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes somebody grabs it and takes advantage of it and runs a couple of metres and turns into 4 points. It's like, holy shit. He threw that out.
So that's where Jermaine Hopgood's getting all his... I mean, like, he makes his tackles
he
work
makes
of a lot.
Yeah, he offloads too.
But it's those offloads because a lot of them are effective.
Mate, that's Corey Parker. Back in his day, there was no ineffective or effective offloads. It was just 4 points. So he'd have 8 offloads and, like, 6 goals a game at 4 points a pop.
Yeah, cheering.
And then he's making 40 tackles, 20 runs, and fucking shit like that. And there was no 1 point hit ups, mate, either. It was all 2 pointers.
Yeah, so that's it. But he was pulling
out.
So that's
what I mean. Jermaine Hopgood's doing this shit on his new scoring system, man. Like,
and on his debut, pretty much. Like, as a first grade starter, it's insane.
Not even Peptide Gal did that.
Yeah. And he got the peptides.
And he was fucking. He was a. Good fucking Supercoach play too.
Every week captain then.
He didn't kick goals either, but he still kept pace with Corey Parker and Cam Smith, mate. Don't you worry about that.
He had the fucking machine.
So well, like I said, we pushed out the halfback on the fifth tackle just to take a hit up, so it's better for the team, man. We're 30 metres out from our own line. Nah, it's good, bro. It's good.
It's all good. I'll get you another 10 throw and offload.
Yeah.
Cheering, thanks, Gal.
2 points for Supercoach. Captain myself this week.
Clayton Gable, is Burton a sell? Well, could he become a potential pod player for those who didn't?
See, look, I started with him as the pod play, and it has failed me, and I feel like now is the time to jump off. And he's like any other gun. He can do whatever he wants, and he can hit that ceiling, and they can go mad. But hopefully you'll pick him up a couple of hundred K cheaper before he does.
He still is kind of a pod, in the wrong kind of way. He's a bad point of difference.
Let me just go into the rest of the question. For those who don't develop trade rage over his poor start to the season, he has a good matchup against the Tigers this week, and given that the Bulldogs look like they're starting to gel on the field against the Storm, if he can score 60 or more, then surely whatever price drop doesn't justify the trade.
That is a very, very good point. I pulled the trigger last week.
Is it, but? But if they put 28 on Storm, and he's still only scored 30, like we discussed earlier.
This is
true. If they put 30 on the Tigers, we'll say he's going to score more.
Touche, sir. If it all goes down the right, then it all goes through. What did Flano score? He didn't go gangbusters, did he?
He still got cheap too. Don't worry about that.
Kraz scored all Supercoach points for Aaron Preston.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We had a couple of good scorers in there. But
Marnie.
That's Marnie getting the ball out to them.
Flanagan scored a 55.
Yeah.
Probably season on.
Anyway, well, we only had two games.
I mean, for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. So, yeah, does it justify burning the trade? You should have done it last week, you're saying?
I'd sell him.
You burn it.
Yeah, get rid of him.
Well, because from memory, he's got a couple of tough games after that. His hard stints are better than his good stints.
Like we also discussed earlier, who do you go to?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's no 5-8s apart from Ezra and Dylan Brown after last week. They're jumping up saying, pick me, so...
Do you go crazy and then just go straight to Schuster, especially if he's your second 5-8? If you're keeping Dewey, do you take the punt on Schuster early and combine him with Tommy?
I'm still having a look at Schuster.
Yeah, I want to have a look at Schuster first.
But, I mean, you're making a trade in your 5-8 spot. Otherwise, you're bringing him into your second row.
Which wouldn't be a drama for Dewey or whatever. I'd swap Dewey for him.
Depending on your team makeup. We don't know what old mate's team makeup's like. That's what I'm saying.
For me, I don't want to get rid of...
Touching Schuster,
his first week back from a calf injury, whereas only went to miss 1 week.
Yeah. All right, next one. Andrew Somerville. Hammer with the spare cash for Hines in the bank or go Kraz? I'll let one of you touch on it because I've got an answer here.
We've pretty much said it. Get on Kraz for 1 to 2 weeks and then offload to see where the hammer's at. You know what I mean?
Like, I didn't say that. I only said that compared to Garrick. I own Garrick. And I'm bringing in the hammer this week over Kraz.
Why?
Yeah, keep going.
I just got a gut feeling that it's a better option.
All right, yeah.
So probably get Kraz.
Yeah, go with your gut. I thought about selling Nath last week and bit me in the ass. So go with your gut. If that's what you're feeling, then just jump on it. Look, man, the dude's not going to pull out 150s each week. If he pulls out 50s each week and every now and then occasional 150, I'm cheering. But, yeah, I don't know how often that's going to happen. I know he can score the tons, but...
But the main reason why I'm going Hemmer over Kraz is because I'm selling Teddy. And I have Garrick and Holmes already anchoring me centre wing.
So you're putting Hammer in the fullback, so you don't have to play him.
Putting Hammer in the fullback at the moment. I'm probably going to sub him for Garrick. Doesn't matter which way. I'm either going to play him both, so it doesn't really matter. But I'm only getting him to bolster me fullback ranks later on. I think I can get Kraz later on, maybe for 100k dearer.
Yeah, I get that. Then Muhammad Chigo. Doing something didn't think I would have unless for injury. He's selling Teddy for Kraz and moving players around, then selling Cheese for Wade Egan and using one boost for Bloor to Preston.
I like it.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind it either. I think you've done all the right sort of moves for making the cash or the points.
What was that first trade?
Teddy for Kraz. Obviously moving Garrick down or a...
So I'm almost doing the identical trades, but I'm going Teddy to Hammer.
Yeah.
And probably get Kraz maybe next week, depending on how things go.
Yeah. I personally wouldn't touch Teddy, but if you are, that's probably the best option.
Yeah, yeah. It's
pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, Kraz does look good this year. Alright, I'll just go and check out. Do you got anything on the live there?
Alright, so I've got a question for you then.
Yep.
Would you sell Bell to Hammer or Teddy to Hammer?
For me, Val at the moment, just because the drinky factor is massive out.
But I think you'll remember.
Do we know if Drinky, Val's scores were effective with or without Drinky?
Yeah, I think Val was scoring pretty well before Drinky came on while Hammond was playing at fullback. So I think he was the one that was still getting a lot of it.
So the first 4 weeks last year is probably a good determining factor.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, seriously, if I remember correctly, the Hammer wasn't feeding him right. And
he did it all himself.
As soon as Drinky came back, it unlocked extra points in Val's game and the team's game because Val kicks the goal, so... It's an obvious win-win when they've got a ball player like Drinky, you know.
With new fullbacks a weapon.
Well, supposedly goes okay. Like, I read something today about him. I don't know.
Bro, you don't make the first grade side.
Without 7 injuries, but if you're good.
Yeah, but, like, no, you've got to have... No, but still, like, if he's a fullback...
No, I know what you mean.
Like, still, you'd be putting someone else in, or you'd be putting Val back to fullback and then putting in, you know, even a back row or something. To play at centre, if you had to.
Well, Cohen has played centre. I know he's probably a bit past it now, but he has done it.
Like,
Nanai? I think Nanai and Lukey, if he's fit, could easily Lukey play. You reckon?
No one can hear what he's saying, so it's irrelevant.
Oh, yeah, cool. So, Lukey, what do you got on last year's scores for Val?
Val went a 16 in round one.
Yep.
Killed it.
49.
Killed it.
106.
Killed it.
31.
Killed it. So not fantastic. And then Drinky came.
He went 75, 92, 53, 46, 74, 33. And still didn't even really kill it then. Yeah, it wasn't until after round 14, really.
Origin.
Origin. Yep. Fuck Origin us. Turns him on, bro.
He'll come back.
Queenslander!
Tell he's got peptides in the water up there. Look, he'll come back when the scores. Fuck yeah, hell. Mate, the haircuts they give you people.
You've got the best team for the last 15 years and you just don't know how to play Origin. You just don't get it.
All right, boys, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Hammer or Preston?
I'm going Hammer.
I think Hammer.
Purely for cash grab purposes.
Hammer.
They could both be going in 2 rounds.
Hammer, because I'm selling Teddy. Who's leaking cash, and I don't have a second row who's leaking cash.
Yeah, that's the other thing you got to look at. Where are you going to leak your most cash, or are you prepared to take the hit of Teddy leaking the cash? So, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Well,
are you prepared to let Teddy's cash flow, go up and down, and just leave him as your season-long keeper?
Save those 2 trades where you're going to trade him out and inevitably get him back in.
My concern with Teddy is if Teddy's going to turn it on against anyone, it'll be against South. It'll be against Trell. Like I said, the rivalry is real.
Okay.
These things really can have an effect on the game.
The big question is, I guess, I just thought of this. Do you see Teddy as a top 3 averaging fullback come the end of the year? If Turbo's fit, Pappy's fit, Trill's fit.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, Pong is fit.
Yes, I do, because...
There's another one I'm missing.
Recently.
Walsh. There's another one too, but... If they're all fit, do you see Teddy being in your final team?
Yeah.
For me, I see Pappenhausen and Turbo as my run-home pullbacks if they're both fit.
Yeah, or Pappy, Trill, both goal kickers. Depends how Souths are going mid-season.
Turbo doesn't need to kick goals.
I know he doesn't.
It's more of the ifs, not whens again for me.
No, but it's not by. If you're talking about Teddy's price not being irrelevant because you're keeping him season long.
Yeah, but Teddy played 20 games.
If he's not in your end game, well, then he's not a season long keeper for you. His price is relevant.
Teddy played 20 games last year. The other two didn't play even 13. The other 3 didn't play 13.
So you don't have Turbo?
Yeah, I've got Turbo.
Oh. But he played 13 games last year.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't
play 13 games. If Pappenhausen comes back after Origin fully fit with back-to-back hundreds, are you not going to touch him because he only played 13 games last year?
If Pappy comes back confident and strong, I'm fucking jumping in, bro, at 950.
That's what I mean. Well, Teddy's not in my end game. Trill, Paps, and Turbo are the top 3 fullbacks for me.
See, I think you're wrong, man. Teddy. Teddy for me, like, yeah, granted, this might be the time to not own Teddy, but after Origin's the time to own Teddy. He tends to come home with a wet sail every year. I think you'll find in your little book of stats over
Trill
there.
Trill beat him home last year, and Paps and Turbo were injured.
All right, go on. Prior years. Like, Teddy's been out there constantly for fucking...
I get that, but Teddy's now 30-odd, man. Trill and Teddy... he's still the best fullback in the game. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking any away from that, but Trill and Turbo are pups, bro.
He might literally only have one more in him at fullback.
No. What? He just re-signed, bro.
When did he re-sign?
Yesterday or the day before.
Oh, did he?
Two or three more years. Oh,
2025.
Yeah.
Well, that shuts down this Joseph Suaalii contract nonsense.
He's going to union.
Yeah?
Probably. He's done something anyway. It was awkward timing when he decided.
There's a British Lions tour in 2025, the year after he comes off in the World Cup in 2027.
They'll want him.
Yeah.
Oh, they've made no secret. They want him, and they're going to throw ridiculous money at him.
Let him go.
But it's just a question of, do you want to go and play that shit game, Joseph?
Yeah. No. Well, you could be. Look, let's face it.
You could be Blake Ferguson.
You're not getting your nose fixed either. Fuck you. But yeah, anything on the live?
I do. So, first of all, Andrew Somerville, Leo Thompson or Nichols as a cheap NAS replacement?
Nichols, by the sound of it. It's got the high break even. And, yeah. Mate, Dolphins are coming out strong. Bennett's got the spirit in him to get him started at the very least.
Leo Thompson will be starting now. Safidi gone too, and he'll probably play decent minutes, won't he?
Safidi's gone long term. Did anyone ever rant about that?
Jacob got suspended and he didn't start last week anyway.
Because Leo Thompson started, didn't he? Pretty sure you'll find he started at 13.
Who's named on the bench there at the Knights?
I think. He definitely started, but Leo Thompson started for years last week.
It's a possibility.
Love how the Knights fan has no idea.
He would have been blind.
Yeah, Thompson starting at 10 this game.
What time is the Knights game?
Thompson's starting at 10 this game.
Yeah.
On the bench, you have Jacob Saifiti, Phoenix, Crossland, Jack Hetherington, and Tyson Gamble.
Nah, it's a bit...
Brody Jones at 18.
Jacob Saifiti obviously will drop off there.
Frizz is gone too. And, Old mate's playing hooker this week because Braley's got a busted head.
Oh, hold on. I'm looking at the wrong game. Stupid me.
Jesus. There you go.
Jacob's suspended.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Braley's knocked out.
Yeah, he was reading the wrong game.
Yeah.
That's
what I was,
last week's
thing. That's what I was thinking. KP's still asleep, I think. They might want to go and wake him up.
So, yeah, didn't you want to have a rant earlier about Scott Drinkwater versus Jacob Saifiti and what you would call the inconsistencies in the NRL judiciary?
You don't agree?
I don't know. I didn't actually see
Scott
both the incidents.
Scott Drinkwater comes in with a shoulder, leading with a shoulder, and breaks
jaws. Corey Oates' jaw.
Yeah. And gets 2 weeks. Jacob Saifiti gets wrong-footed by an inside ball. And, yeah, he pumped old mate. Deserved to be sent off. But there was no harm done. He was all good. Bit. No, not being hit. But. It was all good. And he gets, 5 weeks,
five
you said?
5 weeks, yeah, with an early guilty play, I think.
And then Jeremy Marshall-King goes and just drops down on old mate's heel.
Yeah, it was a pretty
savage. 2 weeks, where Fuimano, I think it was not maybe last year or the year before.
That was last year. Trials even, maybe.
He was tackling someone and just got swung around by momentum and accidentally landed on their heel and got 5 weeks. He's got a reputation because he knocked out fucking Paps in Magic Round.
And that was where I don't think the right decision and common sense came into play. Like, they've just seen...
There is no common
the
sense.
..the outcome. Well, a lot of times it seems to be the more elite the player that if they're injured, the offender gets more punished, whereas if it's just a no-name player, but just a run-of-the-mill player...
Okay. So,
it doesn't seem to come into consideration.
So, Corey Oates, representative winger, high-profile player...
Former representative winger.
..gets a broken jaw in a tackle. Jake Simpkins? Is that his name?
Yep. Jake Simpkins.
I know it's his name. I'm just plain dumb.
Yeah.
an irrelevant from the West Tigers gets tackled by Jacob Saifidi, no harm done, and Jacob Saifidi gets 5 weeks.
Origin for a role, man, no better. But
Jacob Saifidi played Origin?
Yeah, he played last year. He and his brother both played Origin for the Blues. You should know, would have fucking gutted your team.
I do know.
But yeah, it's just, it is, it's, there's no consistency in there. They need one, you need one, either one judge or one panel that never ever strays.
You throw in Wade Graham's last week, where he got 3 weeks if he didn't fight it, or because he fought it and lost. Where do you rate that in between the Saifidi one and the Drinkwater one?
Well, again, I don't think there was malice. I don't think there was malice in any of them. Like, I don't think...
No, I don't think any player except for Denny Williams ever goes in with malice.
Yeah, go Denny. but yeah, like, the Drinkwater one was a shoulder charge, so that automatically should have more
repercussions.
Yes, because you've run in shoulder charge, or in the middle of the
Leapt in the air. Leapt in the air.
We're in the non-shoulder charge.
Well, let's be honest. He's not going to shoulder charge Corey Oates standing on the ground.
Yeah, but we're in the non-shoulder charge era. And he's come out and done a blatant shoulder charge. So I feel he's hung the arm out. Like, that's all he's done. He's, like you said, wrong-footed. And it's just natural reaction, try to grab the bloke. He's got him in an awkward position.
But you can't just hang the arm out.
He got sent off. He got punished accordingly, I think. I think 2 weeks for Jacob.
The Marshall King one, where he's just deliberately dropped everything
a turd
he's got.
On his ankle.
Like, it's fucking, bro, it was hard to. Like, it's one of them things they're trying to eradicate hard. And that one there probably should have got the 5 weeks. You know, he should have caught the 5 weeks out of all that.
Well, a lot of the hip drop tackles, I think, are ridiculous charges. Like, a lot of them are either momentum created from the attacker with old mate trying to tackle him and just getting swung in a certain spot, or it's just the way a natural tackle occurs. Like, you tackle someone, they run past you, you slip down behind them. Sometimes you fall on their heels.
Yeah.
Like, it happens. It's football. It's been happening fucking ever.
That's like the Crusher.
And if they didn't bring in this syndesmosis shit and people just got up and played on, we wouldn't even be fucking worried about it.
Yeah.
But this Jeremy Marsh King one, the first time I seen it, I thought, it's just another one of those fucking...
Wasn't until you saw the replay
the tackle
from behind.
The one from behind where you can see he's full sits down pretty much on his ankle, and it's like, oh, shit. Yeah, no, that is a bad one.
Yeah.
And then what did he get, 2 weeks?
Three, I think, two or three.
You're right, momentum two. Definitely had a lot to do with it in that one. He was getting little manned by a few big men.
Who?
Jeremy Marshall King. There was two other blokes in the tackle with him when he did it. That's half the problem.
No, I don't think that is a problem. I think that even adds to it, because old mate was pretty much stationary. And Jeremy Marshall King then just decided to drop his weight straight down without looking, but knowing where old mate's limb is. You're not dumb. I think, yeah, that was a bad one for me.
Yeah, there needs to be something done with consistency on it. Or just, yeah.
Needs to be something done with this slowing down the play the ball, which everyone's trying to do. Everyone's really got the idea now of the quick play the balls, and all the players are trying to speed the game up. And the defensive lines, some of them are just trying to get away with absolute dog shit still. And it's just horrible to watch. Like, okay, if the bloke stood in the tackle, concede. You know what I mean? But they don't. They keep him standing in the tackle, and then you hear this, hold, and then they bring him down to the ground. It's just like, no, stop wasting fucking time. Like, you guys have got this. It's called held. You know what I mean? Oh, they're still taking 2, 3, 4 seconds to get off after held. It's just,
so you're saying
on, mate.
60 begins not much, but not enough of a deterrent?
What's that?
Are you saying 60 begins not enough of a deterrent?
No, definitely not.
Bring you back see the full penalty?
Well, you see the way it gets absolutely manipulated now.
So either give them a full penalty so they can have a shot at goal or a set restart, wherever they want.
But, well, I don't know.
I think that's much more beneficial,
in my opinion. Touch, like, you get to kick the touch, like, you can make 30, 40 metres where you're not getting that off a quick
off
the extra set.
Inside your 40, it's an automatic big penalty.
Yeah, I know. But
so
still,
but when you're on the attack, you don't.
Oh, depends what
side. They'll routinely do it on first and second tackle.
You got the set restart wherever you want, or you can kick for goal.
Yeah. So if you get the 10-15 metres out,
six again
on the third tackle.
It's a three-man hit up into the middle, and then that's your play from there. Like, that's where it's at. Like, whereas if you get your six again on the 48, you're tackled out by the 20, you know, and then you kick, but not as great as an attacking kick as when you've kicked for touch and you started on the 20 and you've sent your three forwards, you're on, you're crashing onto the try line.
Or you set three set plays.
Yeah,
Adam.
Massive difference. Massive
game change stuff. That's it. You think about it then as a defender. Hey, I don't want to defend that. Yeah. But when they're 40 or 50 out, second tackle, hey, I'm happy defending up two tackles here. No dramas at all.
Yeah. Well, the pressure's not on us. You're not there 2-3 meters out.
That's right.
Big men crashing on top of you. It's shit. But yeah. Win the ring. Somehow.
Yeah, Con will tell you by the end of the season. Just keep listening. It's coming.
Supercoachchampion.com. If you're going to do a ring, I suggest you get on now. Not sure if we've got a promo code. Just tell them Supercoach360 sent you and want $5 off.
Thanks.
No. Con's giving their money away. I don't know if I've got the power to do any of that, but yeah, give it a go.
I'm sure you don't.
We're doing it, but
go for it.
Anyway, still got a couple of more questions in the live chat. Sorry. Brian Ings, what has happened to IPAP? Is he a sell?
It was only 6% owned. I was surprised at that.
Starting with him was always going to be risky, man. Like, that's the problem. He's had two breakout seasons in a row, which is almost unheard of.
Well, not two breakout seasons. He was just in a good team, and he showed his worth.
Feeding Mitch Moses, feeding him the ball.
Like, now he's in a new team.
With a great halfback.
Scored 65 on the weekend.
Done okay.
Did he say 65 plus?
Mitch Moses outscored him, but on the weekend.
It's also worth $400,000 more.
But yeah. Go Mitch.
Is IPAP a sell?
IPAP, yeah.
I would.
Definitely.
I'd go sideways, probably Tau at the moment.
Yes.
Mr. Consistent.
Yes, and if I wasn't going to go that way and I really wanted to, if I was having a struggler, I'd go down to a Katoa, and if I really wanted to make super bank, I'd go down to that Preston's, and then...
And just upgrade the shit out of everywhere.
That money you've got then after that's going to be unreal.
Quickly, can I ask you guys a question? Egan Butcher.
Thinking about it?
Yeah?
He'd be my down to Preston's.
Well, I said he's my stepstone to Harry.
No, Egan Butcher.
Wade Egan.
So...
Yeah, straight up sell this week.
Never should have had on anything, but yeah, sell.
All right.
I don't know what his break even is or anything. I'm looking into that.
It's only 55 or something.
He can wait priority away. Sell, yeah. He could jag a try this week and have two little price rises.
But if he's the guy you've got to sell to get to your Preston's or something like that, I think it's time to pull it.
Yeah.
Or you look at
sideways Katoa.
Yeah.
Well, he's still 9% owned, Egan Butcher, and break even of 59.
So I feel it's achievable.
Yeah.
He's not going to make cash off that, though.
He's not playing 80 either, I don't think, even without the head knocks and stuff.
Yes, head knocks and send-offs.
Oh, bro, that is the story of my 2023. Straight up already.
It has been fucking brutal the last couple of weeks with injuries and suspensions. And I've been semi, like, I've just got a shit team. I've been semi lucky with, I've only owned the Cheese. I didn't have none of that. I didn't have Ford. I didn't have Chance. I didn't have none of them other ones that, like, sort of went to shit. People jumped on Ilias. People jumped on Drinky. Ponga. That's right. Yeah, there's heaps, man. Like, that people jumped on or already had in it, so I've dodged all them bullets so far.
Lucky duck.
Got Cheese, but yeah, I've got shit everywhere.
I didn't bring him in, I just started with him.
Yeah, you got him.
That was good after week one.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Well, you did walk in here swinging. You walk around here swinging and going, oh, yeah, no, just an amazing, you know.
No, only score wasn't great, but I was happy with how my team went and how it looked going into round two.
Yeah.
Round two started and shit hit the fan and come out with a mess on your face.
Well, there was people that had five, six of them, like the whole lot. Like, they
cheese,
had chance.
Paul,
they had,
Palmer.
Yeah, like, you poor bastard. And then still ended up scoring 800 odd or whatever, which wasn't bad. So.
What?
Wasn't good. I was one of those people, so I feel like I can say it.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm one of those people, and I want you to talk me up.
Nah, it was a horrible week. Let's move past it.
It was just fucking horrible. But I'm taking away from it that I saved three trades in week one.
So yeah.
Okay.
I saved two.
That's what I'm telling myself anyway.
I saved a boost.
Well, I saved two, yeah, and a boost.
Holding anything I can to get on.
I haven't saved anything.
Yeah. No way.
What?
You didn't use three trades and a boost last week, or three
trades?
No,
I used two trades.
Jesus.
No boost, though.
Yeah.
But yeah.
How did two trades pan out?
Shit. I should have, like, you know what, I weighed up the option of Welch and Lindsay Collins. I thought, oh, Welch is a bit more highly owned. I thought, I don't want him sort of, like, getting away from me. So I jumped on Welch, whereas Collins was lowly owned. Only a couple of percent, like 2-3% owned. And I should have jumped on him because he's going to be that pod guy.
Well, it's a score difference.
Only 10 points or something, 15 points. But just Lindsay Collins looked really good out there. If you actually watch the game, he looked beast mode.
But with JWH and Radley back this week, that's surely going to affect him.
Oh, I don't think by much.
Welch, what you got is what you got. Now Nils is gone. Even more expectations are going to be on him to carry the load.
Anything
he's
that?
Pretty much the only experienced middle there now.
Like,
he's an semi-experienced middle, but...
All right, got any other there?
Yeah. Got a couple more. Dilbert Parmigiana.
Yes, go
that sounds legit. Like, that sounds like that guy's real name.
Fuck yes.
Your parents must be interesting people.
I like you.
So, Dilbert asks,
Mr. Parmigiana to you.
Mr. Parmigiana.
Mr. Parmigiana.
That's exactly what I thought. As soon as I said it.
Is it worth holding on to Dearden? In brackets, he has Dewey. Not sure I should get Katoa. Hold on. It's multiple questions. We'll start with that first one. Is it worth holding on to Dearden?
Is it worth holding on to Dearden? He comes into a good run, but...
He's had a good run.
Yeah, well, he's not scoring great. His break-even's massive, so what? Logic says yes.
Where are you at? Where are you over there?
Go on. Use your words.
No, I feel... He's kind of like a Val. I brought Val because I know what Val's going to do.
Obviously, just hurry up and fucking do it.
He brought Dearden, expecting, I don't know what Dearden to do, but...
Well, Dearden started off well last year. You adding
Yeah, he did.
I think the draw was very appealing to a lot of people to bring in some Cowboys early. They don't have a buyer until rather late. I think there was just a lot of appeal to bringing into a guy like, don't get me wrong, I didn't bring him in myself, but I looked at Dearden a couple of times just on... Remember he started probably 5-6 rounds... Got up to decent money too, didn't he, Louis, if I remember?
Yeah, he gained 200-300K, I'm pretty sure, something like that.
You could go across nearly to anyone with his money by that, so I'd say this, the appeal in trying to pod on with him.
Yeah.
I'd hang on.
So, Mr. Parmigiana's next question.
Mr. Bob Parmigiana.
not sure I should get Katoa. Once again, Karaz and Hermoso by selling Teddy Thompson and then selling Jaden Brayley to Grant.
I can definitely get in some Grant.
Yeah.
And
you got to get rid of Jaden Brayley if he was your starting hooker for sure.
Grant's the man. If you can, any way to get to Grant, definitely.
I mean, you might be at a stepping stone to Grant through Egan, but it's going to take you two trades.
Is it worth possibly $300,000? Like, it's only one trade, really. Because you have to use one trade to get to Harry anyway.
Yeah,
so you're only using
one
additional trade.
Well, what's he going to go, Hammer or Karaz?
Wait, no, he said Egan. No, it's just Egan, sorry.
Sorry, I don't.
I think he was going Hammer or Carras. So I'm going to say that if he's going Hammer, he can probably get Harry. If he's not going.
Yeah, sorry, he wants to get in Carras and Hammer by selling Teddy Thompson and then selling Brayley for Grant.
Yeah, so he'd be Isaac Thompson.
So I'd do the first two and then probably take Egan for a week or two.
Get those couple of big price rises out of him and then...
Burn an extra trade for $250,000, $300,000 hopefully.
Or you can just have Harry Grant.
Or you can just keep riding it and...
Or you can just have Harry Grant. Or you can just have Harry Grant right now.
We can have Harry. We can have Wade Egan right now. Yeah, an extra $250,000 to upgrade someone else to a gun next week.
I think if we're getting to the point where Con's agreeing with me, you should definitely listen to Perks.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Parmigiano.
I thought we were going the other way.
Denny Sackle.
Hey, Sackle!
Question for Bergs.
Yes, mate.
If Latrell takes Manu's head off again, are you allowed to boo him?
Oh, fuck yeah. I'm touching on this now, fuck it.
Only if you're a Roos fan.
Okay, no, well, Latrell's had another rough week, guys. Sorry, Louis. I am going there, fuck it. Latrell's had a rough week, guys. He's been booed from a crit. Yes, what was said was fucked up, right?
What was said?
I'm not going to there. I'm not saying it. I'm not going
there. Has it been exposed, what was said?
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fuck, we're gonna get my knee right.
There's racial and animal things all thrown in the mix. but what this is what needs to happen. If he's getting so fucking butthurt, now I know I've said this a couple of times.
Getting what?
So fucking butthurt. Like he's going in there and he's whinging saying it's hurt me emotionally, it's hurting me, like fucking come on bro. A 13 or 14 year old kid yelled this at you. Who look like his balls hadn't even dropped yet. How are you getting upset by this? This is the time where they should have said, right, someone grab that kid. Send Junior Totola or someone over there to grab that kid. Take him into the dressing sheds and say, now can you please repeat that to the crowd? Because, let's face it, there's a lot like, of some big dudes in that Rabideau side. And it'll be a fucking life lesson to anyone that wants to yell out. Racial or slurs to anyone. Like, you go and send, like I said, like...
Yeah, it's a great way to meet half the team.
Can I say what was said? Or is it too harsh? Anyway, I'll probably...
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not doing...
I'm saying yes.
Look at what was said. He called him, like, racial slur. Like, it wasn't, you know, like, it wasn't nice, whatever. But, again, same thing.
Have anything to do with cheese?
Wasn't a grown man, nah. Wasn't a grown man, wasn't anything like this. This was
a kid in a Roosters jersey.
It was a little kid. Like, you should have seen it. It looked like a fucking pipsqueak, man.
In a Roosters jersey at a Panthers game.
Yeah, 15 it was.
Yeah, and it, like, literally, he was fucking... So he's gone, oh, I can't do it. I'm having a rough week. People are abusing me in the crowd. Bro, you're at a footy game. I'm sorry. I've yelled that out at me, mate. You know what I mean? Playing. Well, you know, I remember that day me and Tizza were out there at bloody Hawkesbury, just giving it to everyone that played for Hawkesbury. We were on the Hebo side, and then we decided halfway through the game we'll jump back onto Hawkesbury. So we started giving it to Hebo people, and it was great fun that day. Like, everyone had a good day. Everyone seen the fun side of what we were doing too, you know what I mean? Like, we were grilling everyone. But there was a time and a place. Now, they could have took this kid and taught him the right way. Con remembers it. You remember?
No, I was just thinking the time and place was like the 1950s, bro.
No, you can't.
Just because everyone was doing it and everyone thought it was okay doesn't mean it is okay.
It was West. We're getting away with a lot.
I know. I get that, but... Yeah. It's not good, bro. Like, doesn't matter if it's a 15-year-old kid saying it to him or a 70-year-old man saying it to him. This fella's had to put up with this shit his whole life, bro. And he's emotionally affected by it. He's scarred by it. So it brings up traumatic memories for him.
Also,
nobody can take away how he feels from this situation. Doesn't matter who says it to him or how they say it. He feels how he feels, bro. And that's
You're a professional
he's
athlete.
Right to feel no, that. It doesn't matter if he's, you he's still a human being, bro. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're an athlete or not, man. Wait,
straight up, he's a role model, man. And that's the thing.
Like, he should be able to go to work and do his job without somebody calling him a whatever the fuck they called him, man. It doesn't matter if you're paid to be an NRL player or you're paid to be a bricklayer or you're paid to be a waitress. You should be able to go to work and not be either vilified for being sexually orientated one way or one religion or one race or nothing. It shouldn't matter. You should be able to go to work, do your job, and not be fucking ridiculed for it or criticised or abused. Like, it's just not right, man. Like, we're living in 2023 now.
That's right, and I don't understand why people
get this shit together.
Affected by words,
and it's not just this kid. Obviously, he's getting it from somewhere. More than likely an inner circle of family or friends, close friends or something. They all need to have a good hard look at themselves in the mirror too and say, what the fuck am I doing?
Well, if you
I'm a piece of shit. I need to wake up to myself. Everyone's the same. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from or what you do. We're all human beings and we all deserve the same shit.
If you go check through society though, people calling it every single day, bro. You hear it every single
day.
Oh,
yeah, it doesn't make it right.
Half the times, it's their mate saying it. You know what I mean? So it's automatic in culture.
Oh, look, if you have your really tight, inner close friend circle like we do, where we can call our black mate Jigs,
yeah.
That's totally different, bro.
I know that is.
We can do that in and amongst ourselves. But if we still go out and call him Jigs in public, as much as we think that's okay, other people are going to look at us and go, holy shit.
I know that. I know
that's not okay. And they don't want their kids to turn around and say, hey, what's Jigs mean? Can I call my black fellow Jigs? Like, at least the places. Like,
Con. Yeah, sorry. I'm just going to have to pull you up on that. I think Berg's got it too. It's become taboo, especially in recent times, for white people to refer to black people as theirs. You can't say my black people.
Well, I'm calling him Jig, so what's it matter?
Somebody
get this jigaboo out of here. That's off White Chicks. That's a movie reference.
All right, we got to go. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. It's in culture, but
I think we're done anyway.
Yeah, we're going to argue this in a minute.